shore. The worst pandemic in the last 100 years. And then as America, we have seen more than 122,000 people who've lost their lives due to this pandemic. Many were fathers. Many were grandfathers. So our heart goes out to everyone who've lost a loved one during this pandemic. But this has certainly been what we would call certainly a perilous time. Right now, one out of every four Americans are out of work. Many businesses are struggling just to make it. A recent poll said that 56% of all Americans right now are experiencing fear and anxiety as a result of this pandemic. And so, you know, we're definitely living in a challenging time. In addition to that, because of the recent unjust killing of George Floyd, right now we see the wound of racism that has been reopened and caused much civil unrest in our nation and our communities. And so as fathers, there's never been a time when your leadership and your guidance has ever been needed as it is needed now. And so I want to speak to that subject because fathers, we in most homes, whether as a father, we are the leaders of our home. And so I believe that God wants to speak to us on how to lead in times of crisis, how to lead our families. And so I want to speak to that subject this morning on how you and I can, as fathers, how do we father in a time of crisis? Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I want to read because crisis is not new to the church of God. Throughout history, the church has faced times where we've been in pandemics, where we've been in wars, where we've faced crisis, where we've had famines and we've had disasters. And so I want to speak to you and I, especially as fathers. I want to just encourage fathers today. How do you and I be the fathers in times of crisis? The first principle, I want to share three things this morning that I believe that will encourage you and bless you. But first of all, if you and I are going to lead in times of crisis, we must commit to praying for our children daily. James 5:16, it goes on to say, therefore confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Then it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I like the next verse. It says, Elijah was a just man just like us. Aren't you glad God uses ordinary people? And the Bible said, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced their crops. You know, I'm convinced, and I just want to say to every father, I've had the privilege to be a father for almost 36 years, and I am convinced the single greatest thing that you and I as fathers can do is to prevent for our children. The Bible tells us that prayer, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man has power. I want you to know that I've seen God turn unbelievable situations around when we've prayed. I've seen God heal sicknesses when we've prayed. I've seen God prevent accidents when we prayed. How many know there's nothing too hard for the Lord? And I want you to know, prayer is you and I realizing that, God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not wise enough. I need God in my life. Anybody besides you need God enough? And I want you to know, when we pray, God answers. That's why Jesus said, I would that men pray always and never give up, because prayer ushers in God's power. And if there was ever a time when we need praying fathers, it is now. Because I want you to know, you can't always be with your children. You can't always know where they are. You can't always see the dangers that they're confronting. But I want you to know that God has given us a promise in his word that if we'll pray, come on, how many of somebody say pray? I want you to know that prayer has power. It's not the last thing we do. I believe it ought to be the first thing we do. I like the way it says that, notice Elijah was a man just like us. In other words, he was an ordinary person. Sometimes we make these people in the Bible, we make them some super extraordinary. But Elijah was a person just like you and I. But I want you to know what distinguished Elijah's life was. He had faith. He was ordinary, but he had a faith in an extraordinary God. How many of you know that the size of your prayer will be determined by the size of your God? Some people make God this small and they limit him. But I want you to know, how many of you know God can do anything but fail? And the Bible says, if we can believe all things, say all things. I want you to know, all things are possible if we'll just simply believe. God is looking for people who will learn how to pray in times of crisis. I want it to be said of you and I that when we look back on 2020, that we will say it was one of the most challenging years in our nation's history. God has turned a group of people who prayed, and God turned it around. I don't know about you, but I believe that God is turning it around. Anybody beside me believe that he's going to turn it around? I believe that God is going to move in our nation as never before. Not I believe, because in response to his to you and I as we pray, I want you to know that sometimes we don't always know how to pray. Anybody ever face a crisis and you don't know how to, you didn't know what to pray? Let me just tell you, just because you love God does not make you immune to tragedy. Just because you love God doesn't mean that you'll be immune to storms and crisis. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. I want you to know, it's a part of living in a broken and a fallen world. There's going to be pandemics. There's going to be wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be disasters. I want you, it's just part of living in a broken world. Until Jesus comes, how many know you and I live in a fallen world, and we're going to be affected by these things. But I'm so glad that we've been given a helper. How many thank God for the helper? Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself, come on, somebody say the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, it's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. And he who searches our hearts and know the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know about you, but you ought to give God a shout, because the Holy Spirit, he will pray through you. I want you to know, I'm not smart enough. I don't know how to make it through. I don't even know how to pray sometimes. But sometimes, Lord, I'm thank God for the Holy Spirit. He'll pray through us. Let me just give you a testimony. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, I was called early in the morning. My daughter called me in a frantic, saying, Daddy, I need you to come to the hospital right away, because my daughter's not responding. And I want you to know that nothing touches or brings more pain in the life of a parent than when a child is hurting. And I want to tell you, I dropped everything, and I got in the car, and I'm telling you, for anybody who saw me on the road, I made it to the hospital in about 1 minute. God, thank God no police was stopping me that morning. But I was frantic. You know, sometimes we face things and we need you to come right away. And I want you to know, I heard the cry and I got in my car and I began speeding down the road. I said, come on now. And I want to tell you, I didn't know what to pray, but I began to say, devil, you can't have her. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I begin to rebuke the spirit of death. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. How many thank God for the Holy Spirit? What made matters worse is when I pull up in the hospital. Many of you know now, I go up to the hospital, and the lady and the security guard and the nurse say, you can't come in. Now I was even more hurt, because it's bad enough that I know that I got a granddaughter and I don't know what conditions she's in on the other side of that room, but they won't even let me in. And I almost got in the flesh. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But I want to remind you is that, listen to me, we might not always can be where they are, but I want you to know, prayer knows no distance. And I want you to know, listen, I want to tell you, with tears streaming down my ears, we begin to walk in that parking lot. Me and my son-in-law, we begin to call on the name of Jesus. We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we begin to pray. I say, God, I don't know what's going on, but God, you can change it. God, you can fix it. God, you can turn it around. And I want to tell you, it was about 15, 20 minutes later, the nurse came out there. She knew we was in such distress. She just said, I want you to know your granddaughter going to be all right. I cried more afterwards. sometimes the burden gets so heavy. And sometimes you don't know what to do. But I just cried. I cried out of joy and realizing, God, I thank you that you still answer prayer, that you still move mountains, you still work miracles. Come on, somebody give God praise because he still answers prayer. He still moves mountains. And I want you to know that, listen to me, you and I, we're going to face crisis. We're going to face difficult situations. We have a devil. The Bible says you have an enemy called the devil, and he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to understand, the more you try to do for God, the more opposition you're going to get. Can I have an amen? See, sometimes we think, well, if we can do everything right, we loving God, then everything going to go smooth. No, I want you to know, the devil going to come at your life, but I want you know that we have been given power. Prayer. I want to say this. Prayer is the greatest underutilized weapon God has ever given his children. In Ephesians chapter 6, that great chapter on spiritual warfare, Paul writes, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. He goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil rulers in the dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to know, just as we got a virus that's unseen, we got a devil that's unseen. You can't defeat him with these. You can't defeat him with a gun. I want you to know, you got to learn how to get on your knees and whip that devil. Can I have an amen? And sometimes we're so strong in our own strength that we weaken God. But I want you to know that if you and I are going to learn how to be fathers in time, the devil hates you. He hates your children. He hates your family. He hates a godly legacy. You realize that everywhere we read when God was about to do something, the devil always attacked the seed. You remember when Jesus was about to be born, how many of you know we had a wicked Herod that said, listen, I want you to kill all the babies. How many of you know we said the devil is still in the business. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. You remember when Moses was being born because God knew he was raising up a deliverer. How many of you know the devil will always try to take out the one who God has chosen, but we must cover them in prayer. Can I have an amen? And if there's been great opposition in your children's lives, that's probably a good sign that God want to use them. Can I have an amen? If you had all hell break out, I want you to know you ought to shout because the devil letting you know that God has something special in plan. Can I have an amen? The greater the fight, the greater the victory. Paul, when he talks about those spiritual weapons, he talks about truth. He talks about salvation. He talks about the girl of peace. But I believe he closes with the most important weapon. Listen to what he says. In Ephesians 6:18, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Come on, thank God for all kinds of prayer. Listen, with all kinds of prayer, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And I've learned, let me just tell you, in my 36 years of parenting, we will miss it. How many have discovered that there's only one perfect father. We sung about him today. It's our heavenly father. None of us, let me just tell you, in all of our human weaknesses, we're going to miss it. We're going to fail miserably. Let me just say, at our best, we're going to fall short. But aren't you glad there's a perfect father? Aren't you glad that he will never miss it? He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never disappoint you. Come on, give God praise for a perfect father. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm so glad that I have a Father in heaven. Let me just tell you, I lost my father when I was 19 years old. It was like a void, a hole in my heart. For those of you that lost a parent, lost a father, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, it left a great void. I had so many decisions I was needing to make. I was a freshman in college. I so wanted a father to be able to say, Daddy, I don't know what decisions to make. Dad, I need guidance here. Dad, I need help here. Let me just tell you, I was struggling. But I've learned that we have a father who's a father to the fatherless. I want you to know, I've discovered that God, he said, Neil, I'll be a father when you need me. I'll be everything you need. And I can tell you, it's been 41 years since my dad passed away. Not quite 39 years, 1981. And I want you to know that God he's never failed one of his promises. Oh, I want you to know, I'm talking about a good daddy. I'm talking about a daddy who say, I'll never leave you, never forsake. I'm talking about a daddy who say, I'll provide for you. I'm talking about a daddy who say, if you need wisdom, you can ask. I'm talking about a daddy who say, I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I want you to know, we have a heavenly father who said, listen, call on me and I will answer you. I want you, he's never too busy. His line, let me just say, sometimes my kids try to call me and sometimes I'm busy. Sometimes they try to reach me and they can't always reach me. But I want you to know we have a heavenly father. I want you to know his phone is never turned off. I want you to know, listen to him, we could always reach him. His phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Come on, give God praise for a father who's always there. And on this Father's Day, I just want to encourage you fathers, learn how to pray daily for your family. Learn how to pray daily for your children. Learn how to cover them in prayer. I'm telling you, listen, I've lived this long enough to know that, listen, prayer know no boundaries. They might not listen to you, but God know how to get a hold of them. Can I have an amen? This last scripture, I just share with you because right now, it is said that 56%, that means more than one out of every two Americans right now are experiencing stress, anxiety, fear, not uncertainty, not knowing what's home. For those who work in healthcare, 64%. For those who currently have been impacted due to their job, it is said 65% of them are facing some kind of fear and worry and anxiety. We are having, I want you to know, the outbreak of worry and fear over the disease is causing more havoc and more harm in people's lives. But aren't you glad God gives us a promise? Listen to what it says in Philippians 4, verse 6. I want you to know you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Could I have an amen? I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what's going on out. I mean, you know, you can have peace regardless of what's going on around your life. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious. Look at somebody and say, don't be anxious. Come on, tell somebody and say, don't be afraid. We have a whole, fear has gripped our whole nation. Fear has gripped our whole world. So many people are living in fear. They're paralyzed. They're anxious. They're nervous. Some can't sleep. I was reading an article and it was saying that so many people are having stomach problems. So many people are having sleep disorders. So many people have turned to the bottle, have turned to different addictions because of this anxiety and a fear that they're facing. But here's the answer. He said, don't be anxious about anything. But listen, but by everything, say everything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, say the peace of God, that transcends all understanding, is greater than CNN, is greater than MSNBC. It's greater than Fox. Come on. I don't know. Listen to me. They got all kinds of wisdom out there, but there's a wisdom that comes from God. I want you to, I don't care what's happening in the world. There is a peace that transcends what's happening on the streets. There's a peace that transcends what's happening in the community. It's called the peace of God. And it says the peace of God that passes all understanding. In other words, it don't always make sense. The boat might be rocking. The rain might be falling. But you can still be at peace if God is in the boat. Somebody give God some praise because he's still in the boat. He's in the boat. He's in the boat. He promised he'll never leave us. He promised he'll never forsake us. And that's why, listen to me, if there was ever a time you and I need to pray, it's now. I want you to know that, because I can tell if there's peace in your home, it's because you've been praying. The world might be full of fear, but I want you to know, if you come to my house, we got peace today. Oh, I tell you, we're going to be eating some barbecue. Come on, Jesus. Oh, I tell you, we're going to be eating some baked meat, and we're going to celebrate the goodness of God. I want you to know, because there's peace in my house. Come on, because Jesus is in the house. We got people afraid to go out. But I'm telling you, prayer will shield your life and bring peace like never before. Secondly, if you and I are going to lead, if we're going to father in these times of crisis, hear me, fathers, this one is so important. One of our fathers in this church, I had a long conversation with him. Because how many of you know, you've heard me say, faith untested is faith that can't be trusted. Anybody can talk faith. Y'all heard what I say? You find out where people are in the crisis. I find out what you really believe. It's easy to talk, man, I believe God can do it. I believe God can. But I find out where you really are in a time of crisis. And I had a chance to speak to this father just because he said, Pastor, that's easy to say it than done. I said, well, you know, that's the whole life of faith. You either believe this Bible. I'm going to say it again. You either going to believe this Bible, or you might as well throw it away and become a Muslim. Become a Buddhist. Become a Hindu. Either Jesus is Lord and he rose from the dead and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his word is true. At some point in all of our lives, we have to come to a place and say, "If let God be true and every man a liar." Can I have an amen? Hear me what I'm saying. Secondly, if we as fathers are going to father in trouble time, we must teach children and give them God's word. Can I have an amen? Say God's word. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 17 through 17. Paul writing to his spiritual son Timothy. I send out an outline. We don't give out the physical outline, but I send it out to email. If you don't get an email, then all you got to do is text me your email, and we'll make sure you get an outline. We don't want to pass paper. We do believe in practice. We believe in caution. We believe in common sense. We believe in washing our hands. We believe in exercising caution. Y'all understand, faith is not foolishness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Is that all right? Y'all understand, I believe that we need to practice caution, but I believe that we're not to live in fear. Could I have an amen? We're going to feed over 1,000 people tomorrow. If we was afraid, we wouldn't come out our door. But I believe God's will is God's build. I believe where God, he not only provide, but he'll also protect. Come on, give God some praise. But Paul, writing to his son Timothy, said, you have been taught the holy scriptures. Come on, say the Bible. Come on, say the Bible. You have been taught the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, from a childhood. Listen, and they have given you what? What they've given you? Come on, listen. The Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. There's all kinds of opinions out there today. There's all kinds of voices out there. You better learn how to hear the voice of God. I want you to, you got one saying this. You got another saying that. You got this one saying that. You better learn how to hear what God is saying. Can I have an amen? And God's word, if you want to know what God's saying, you got to open up the book. Can I have an amen? You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom. Listen, wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting Christ Jesus. All Scripture, say all Scripture, is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Somebody say amen. God, listen, God uses it. He used the word of God to prepare and equip his people for every good work. That's why I've been saying this is our season. Come on, this is our time. In the time when it's the greatest darkness, the light shines the brightest. Come on, listen, in times like this, people are more open to Jesus than ever before. It's not time to draw back in fear. It's time to stand up and declare Jesus is Lord. It's time to declare his word will work for you. Can I have an amen? And I want you to hear this in a world where everything is rocking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. But aren't you glad there's one thing that cannot be moved? You're laughing. Aren't you glad there's an unchanging word? Because what God said today is still tomorrow. The Bible said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad there's an unchanging word that I can build my life upon it, that it won't change on me? It'll be the same today. It'll be the same tomorrow. It'll be the same the next day. You can build your life on the word. Can I have an amen? And I want you to know, hear me, parents, and those of you that's watching. The most important thing, I'm grateful for education. All my kids got more degrees than me. But all your degrees in a crisis will do you no good. I don't care how much worldly wisdom, I don't care how much education, you better know this word. Could I have an amen? Thank God for education. Thank God for learning. But I want you to know, we got a generation, we more concerned about them learning, reading, writing, and arithmetic. But they, when it comes to the Bible, they're ignorant. And it's a tragic time where we got people, listen, don't think just because you come into the house of God and just because you come to church that they read the Bible. Some people, the only time they open their Bible is on Sunday morning. And not because we put all the scriptures on the screen, some don't open it on Sunday morning. Just smile at me. But I'm telling you from experience, I've learned if they close all the buildings, hear me, when I went into China, you know what? In China, it's illegal to gather like this. In China, we had to sneak out. When we went to China, Andrew and I, we had to go out like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night when everything was shut down. We had to turn the lights out in the vehicle. We went to a private building. They had all the rooms dark. And I want you to know that because it's illegal for believers to gather and be able to hear and learn the word of God. But I want you to know they've learned to love the Bible. I want you to know the Bible is more important to them than anything else because they've learned, listen, they can close all the buildings, they can close all the churches, but if we got God's word, we're going to be all right. And I want you to know God is bringing us to the place that man shall not live by bread alone. Come on. But by every word, say every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen what Jesus said concerning the Bible. Therefore, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25, I'm almost through. He said, therefore, anyone who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, he is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Come on. Anybody standing on the rock today? The rains came down and the stream rose. I'm telling you, rain is going to fall. Waters are going to rise. Winds are going to blow. But I want you to know, if you build your life on the unchanging, the unmovable, the unshakable word of God, then regardless of what comes, you'll still be standing. Listen to what he goes on to say. And the stream rose and the winds blew and it beat against that house. Yet, listen, I like this part. It did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Come on, give God some praise. Jesus is the rock. And I want to say to you, every father, the greatest single thing that you could ever do is to teach and encourage and model and practice living out the word of God. Because I want you, the word of God will convict them. Children will go astray They might even argue with you. You know, a lot of time they get in those seasons in their lives and they think they know more than you. Any of you got any children like that? Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. And they get in those seasons. But I've learned that, listen, if you give them God's word, let me tell you, they might argue with you, but I want you to know they can't win the argument against the word of God. The word of God will get on the inside of them. It'll convict them. The word of God has a way of transforming it. They might argue with you and think, well, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do it. But the word of God, I want you to know, it comes in. It's living. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Come on. It's a judger of the intents and the thoughts and the motives of our heart. They might think one thing, but the word of God will go get on the inside. And listen, their friends might tell them this. Their professor might tell them this. But I want you to know, if you'll give them the word of God will steer them in the right direction. Can I have an amen? Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed to thy word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Listen to what it says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man, we can say blessed is the child, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers or scornful. But listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. How many want your children to prosper? How many want your children to be blessed? I want you to know, God gives us a prescription. Joshua 1:8, he says, listen, he tells us that if we will meditate in this word day and night and observe to do all that's written in it, then we will make our way prosperous. Then we will find good success. Come on, if you've discovered that the word of God works, give God a praise right now. Come on, let's thank God for the word of God. I'm telling you, there are things that will poison them. Listen, give them a love and a thirst for the word of God. Sometimes we give them iPads, we give them iPhones, we give them everything, and then they don't want to read the Bible. No, you give them a hunger. You give them a thirst for the scriptures so that they'll begin to read it. They'll begin to meditate. David said, oh, how I love thy law. I meditate in it day and night. We got to give them a love for the scriptures, because you can't always be with them. You can't always watch over their lives. But if you'll give them a love for the word, how many of the word will work? God says, my word will not return void. It will accomplish everything that I sent it out to do. We give them the word. And lastly, as I close, I said, if we're going to lead in times of crisis, I said, number one, we got to pray for our children. We got to pray for them daily. I say, number two, we got to give them God's word. Fathers, hear me. I'm telling you, there's no perfect fathers. We've all missed it. We've all fallen short. But I want to tell you, if you'll teach your children, if they'll see you pray, they'll pray. If they'll see you read your Bible, I want to tell you, they'll develop a love for the Bible. But lastly, this is most important as I conclude. We must give them an example. Say an example. To follow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Put it up there. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 1. If there was ever a time we needed fathers, we need it now. Paul said, do you have 10,000 instructors? You have not many fathers. We need fathers who will stand flat-footed. We need fathers who will not waver. We need fathers who will stand on the word of God when all hell is breaking loose. We need fathers who will stand fearless and say, I believe in God. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Lord Jesus. We need fathers who will not be swayed by what's happening around us. Listen to what Paul said. Follow my fathers. Listen to me. I cannot say this enough. All of you watching, what you do will speak louder than what you say. I can't underestimate that. I'm going to say it again. What you do will speak louder than what you say. It's important that we give them an example to follow. If children are going to learn, if they're going to learn to stand in troubled times, they're watching your life. What you do is what they're going to do. If you live by fear, if you're panicking every time something goes on, that's what's going to happen in their life. But if you learn how to be a person of faith and learn how to say, I believe in God. I believe he will do just what he says his word will do. I believe his promises are true. I believe you can base your life on it. I want you to know, if you will stand flat-footed and say, listen, God is true. What he said he will do, and they will see faith in you, I want you, it'll inspire them to live a life of faith. But I want you, you cannot, hear me, nothing will hinder children from following the Lord is when you say one thing and you do something else. The number one reason why children have often been turned off from God is because often they've seen sometimes parents say one thing behind closed doors and do another thing out in the open. I'm never surprised. You cannot expect your children to have a love for God if you shout on Sunday but cuss on Monday. I told you, years ago when I was first pastoring, we would go door to door. We'd go visit our members. One time I'd come to a door, one of our members, and I'm knocking. I could hear some noise in the background. Kind of listen a little bit closer. Boy, it was going on in that. All of a sudden, I quietly heard somebody come peek through the peephole. And I could hear them whisper, it's the pastor. All of a sudden, all the ruckus that was going on, when they opened the door, it was all completely different. The reality is, listen, what you are in private is really what you are in public. You might think you can fool people, but you can't fool God. The greatest thing we can do is when we miss it, be honest and say, I misrepresented the Lord. I missed it time. I remember one time, we can get angry over the craziest thing. One day, my daughter accidentally, I was cutting the grass, and she rolled over the grass. And I got angry, and I slammed my hand on her car. Scared the living daylights out. Over grass. And I wounded her. What in the world? I realized I misrepresented God. But you know, thank God for forgiveness. If I had not admitted my wrong and said, baby, I was so wrong. I misrepresented. Can you forgive me? I'm so glad that they forgave me. I have to repent often because I miss it often. But how many are glad for the Holy Spirit? How many are glad for grace? Come on. How many are glad for grace? Say grace. See, the reason why I give grace is because I need grace. Anybody beside me need grace. And I need the grace of God. And his grace is grace that tells him, can you forgive me? I miss it. I sin. I misrepresent the Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have got angry. And when we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. This last scripture says in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Did y'all hear that? If you don't hear anything else today, fathers, hear this one thing. If you want to be an effective father, if you want to lead in times of crisis, The most important thing that you can do as a father is to live a life of love. Jesus didn't come to bring a religion. He came to bring a relationship. And I want you to know that, listen, it goes on to tell us, it described that love. Listen how he described that love. He goes, he said, live a life of love. Listen, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You know what kind of love that is? It's a sacrificing love. It's an unconditional love. I want you to know, God loved me when I was in the club. God loved me when I was far away from God. God loved me when my life wasn't lined up right. God loved me when I didn't want to be bothered with him. Yet he loved me unconditional. The Bible said while I was dead in sin, Christ died for me. Somebody give God some praise for the love of God. It's that kind of love that will draw them. It's that kind of love that will remind them when they fall away from God. I know I have a father that still loves me. I don't care how far. That's why I love the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says when he was in the pig pen, he came to himself. Anybody came to themselves before? Come on. How many? It might have been in a nightclub. It might have been in a bar. It might have been after you puke up your guts. But anybody ever came to themselves? And when he came to himself, he said how much it was so much better in my father's house. And he said, this is what I would do. I would say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you. And I've sinned against men. And I'm not even worthy to be your son. But the Bible said when the father saw him a long way off, he ran to him. Wrapped his arms of love around him. Put a robe on his back and sandals on his feet. He said, this is my son that was dead and now alive. He was lost and now found. That's how God responds to us. And I want to say to you and I as fathers, if we will respond with that kind of love to our children, I want you to know, then God will draw them, God will woo them, God will bring them in. We've all missed it. We've all messed up. Anybody beside me ever messed up? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to close it. I want to pray. As I pray this morning, God wanted you to be encouraged. Listen, we are living in one of the greatest crises in American history. But I'm here to tell you that God, you were made for this. Look at somebody and say, you was made for this. Come on, tell them. Say, you were made for this. God knew it was coming. And you was born for such a time as this. Oh, yes, you are. God gave you everything you need. And I want you to know that, listen, when you don't know what to do, I like that song we sing, when I don't know what to do, when I don't know what to say, say the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say Jesus. I want you to know, if you'll learn how to call on that name, he will guide you. We got to teach him. We got to pray over him in times of crisis. We got to give him God's word. And lastly, most important, we got to give him an example to follow. What you do, they're going to do. If you respond in anger and rage and burning down the buildings, that's what they're going to do. If you respond with forgiveness, they're going to respond with forgiveness. If you're going to respond with love, what's in them is going to be in. That's why they're watching everything you do. I don't know, some of you not old enough. Years ago, there used to be a commercial, a smoking commercial, and the father and his son was following behind, and the father kicked the can, and the son kicked the can. The father made a gesture, and the son made a gesture. They went under a tree, and the father took a cigarette and lit it, and the son sitting next to him took a pretend cigarette and lit it. And the story was about, if you don't want your children to smoke, you don't smoke. The reality is, they're going to do whatever you do. God made us that way. We want to imitate our fathers. And so I want you to know, if you want them to follow Jesus, then you be a follower of Jesus. If you want them to love Jesus, come on, somebody say amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the day's service. I thank you for those who are watching right now. Lord, we're living in a crisis time. But God, you are Lord over the crisis. And so God, I thank you on this Father's Day 2020. You've taught us how to lead in times of crisis. Father, I pray for every father in this room. I pray that, Father, we would commit to daily praying over our children. Lord, that we'll learn that, God, that when we pray, God, you work. That, God, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man has power. So, God, teach us how to daily cover our children's prayer. Lord, secondly, I pray that, God, that we will give them the word of God. For you say it, Lord God, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. Lord, help us to be reminded that your word is unchanging. And when everything around them is shaken, God, we can give them a foundation that will never be shaken, your word. And lastly, most importantly, Father, I pray that as fathers, we would give them an example to follow. That, Lord, that we would realize that they're watching our lives. And God, I pray that you give us the courage and the grace that, Lord, when we miss it, we'll sin. That, Lord, we'll admit it. We'll own up to it. And we'll confess our sin, realizing that you are faithful and just to forgive us. If you're a father, won't you do this? Won't you stand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every father.